ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. We all try to get something for nothing.
As Lady Chatterley said to her gamekeeper.
But, in other words, if we see something we fancy, we appreciate it a lot more if we're offered a bit off.
As Lady Chatterley said...
Do you mind, Mr. Phillips?
Lady Chatterley didn't.
I shall finish this announcement if it kills me. We all like a bargain, and my wife, like all wives, is no exception. Only last week I was taking her to the Michael Aspel Family Favourites Awards Ball. She wanted a new pair of shoes, but fortunately the sales were on, and that evening she returned with a brand new pair of shoes, which had been slashed from £5.10 old money to £5.50.
6 to 4, they were a size too small.
And she couldn't dance in them.
They were, and she did, but the next day it cost me £3 in chiropractor's fees.
There was a free bargain in my comic last week.
Is it?
Mm. It offered a special bargain offer of a kite with a Mickey Mouse face on it for only 5 new peas, or generous easy terms with your money back guaranteed if not satisfied within 10 days.
5 new pence for a kite? Oh, that must have been a bargain.
No, it wasn't, no. It didn't look a bit like Mickey Mouse. It wouldn't fly, and it cost me 20 pence to send it back.
Now, I wouldn't joke about bargains if I were you, Chief, because something's gone very wrong with the one you've negotiated with your Uncle Ebenezer at his War Surplus Emporium.
What? Oh, excuse me.
Oi! Myrtle! Where's Nunky?
I'm frightfully sorry, but just for a tick, Mr. Ebenezer Pertwee's out.
Oh, come off it, Myrtle girl. It's me. Nunky's nephew. Your mum's son, Johnsy.
Oh, for steaming up the river. I know that, you clown. I'm your mum's daughter, so therefore I'm your sister. And as it's you, Nunky's definitely out.
Well, he can't be. He'll give the old fool a shout and get him out about now.
Push off, Johnsy. I've got things to do.
Like what?
I'm buffing up me cuticles.
Myrtle, any more lip from you and I'll buff your cuticles all the way up from your fat ankles up to your cake hole.
Oh, for screwing up a nut. Oh. All right. Nunky, you're wanted.
How many more times? Whether it is or not.
Oh, for blowing a snitch. It's me mum's son, Johnsy.
Never heard of him.
Come on out, you disreputable, unshaven heap of old rubbish the dustman wouldn't take even if you tipped him. I've got the money for the booze.
Hello, Johnsy. Nice to see you. Hand over.
You're not so fast. Have you got the wallop?
Of course.
In that case, fair enough. Here you are. £40, less my commission for fiddling the order in the first place.
Done.
No doubt I have been. Right, now the jeep's outside to collect it. Where's the booze?
There's been a bit of a snag, Johnsy.
Myrtle, open that till. Come on, open the till. Give us me money back.
With a bit of luck, Auntie's got us both in the clear with a bit of extramarital activity beyond the call of duty.
Pardon?
It's the permissive society, Johnsy.
Pardon?
Look, I've permitted Auntie to stay up all night brewing up a fresh lot of booze so as not to disappoint you. Because some thieving swine hijacked a lorry load of booze before Auntie and I could hijack it.
Stone me, I don't know what the world's coming to. You can't trust anybody these days.
Right you are, Johnsy. Now, there's just one thing. This booze that Auntie brewed up is in barrels we nicked from a pub, so everybody will think it's the real stuff, you see.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, well, here's the other bit of a snag. Yeah. It's got a kick like a mule, but it should be allowed to settle for at least a week.
Oh, come off it. We're drinking it tomorrow night at the opening by Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown of the new Naffy.
Well, good luck. In the meantime, just a word of warning. Once you get it loaded on the jeep, treat it as if you've got nitroglycerine on board, and you might just get away with it.
Pardon?
Well, it's still fermenting, isn't it? It's all hubble bubbling inside those barrels. So don't bounce it up and down, because it'll make it worse. Hey, and whatever you do, keep it away from anything hot, or I won't be responsible for the consequences.
glad to see you're here for the opening, Commander Murray, sir.
Mm. Oh, thank you, Mr. Phillips. One must muck in with the chaps.
I think your wife, Rita Kims, I mean Mrs. Murray, looks absolutely ravishing in that tubular dress.
Mm. Oh, yes. Rita Kims, Mrs. Murray, is very nimble with needle. She ran it up from one of Bouncing Betty's horse blankets, especially for the occasion.
You can tell that her dress is the hit of the evening. The way everybody's standing upwind to admire it.
Very kind of you to say so. Rita will be pleased. When I can get near enough to tell her.
Yet when I was dancing with her, I couldn't help noticing how she pong... How distinctive her perfume was.
Well, she accidentally used the wrong bottle and didn't find out until it was too late. Instead of it being Mon Bel Amour de Nuit, it turned out to be the liniment she bought from Longchamp Racecourse for Bouncing Betty.
Cool.
Dance with her, Mr. Phillips. Don't mind me. I'm not the jealous husband.
No. I had enough last time. She is a bit power. I don't feel like dancing just for the liniment. People might talk, sir.
You're absolutely right. Conduct unbecoming and all that.
Yes.
Incidentally, talking of conduct, have you any idea what's wrong with Chief Petty Officer Pertwee?
No, but he is behaving oddly. When he's not hovering around those barrels of beer, he keeps turning off all the radiators above them.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, now is the moment you've been waiting for. And, of course, as it is the opening of the new Naffy, it is a big one.
Yes, big uns, yes. There can't be big uns, no. Particularly that bubble dancer I saw in Cairo. My word, they were big uns, if you like. And I do like, yes. They were big in Karachi, of course, but in Cairo they were vast. My word, they were big uns, yes.
Oh, law. Arm bridges off. Povey, hit him.
Oh!
Good man. Carry on.
Yes. Well, as I was saying, this honor falls to me, Captain Povey, RN, and Defense Medal, to introduce Lady and Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown, KG, KT, KP, KCB, KCSI, KCMG, KCLE, RN retired.
Jolly odd. He couldn't have done much. He didn't even get the Defense Medal like Captain Povey.
Oh, shut up.
It gives me great pleasure to name this ship...
Not now.
Amelia.
Ship naming was yesterday. This is Naffy opening.
Oh, thank you, Willie. In that case, it gives me great pleasure to name this Naffy... Naffy.
Times have I got to tell you, Amelia? You're the ship namer. I'm the Naffy opener.
So if I may have your attention, I would like a big round of applause for Sir Tiddly Wobbly, Sir Wobbly Toddly Wibbly, Sir Diddly Tipply.
Don't fight it, Povey.
Why the painter couldn't call me Fred, I'll never know.
Fellow Boilermakers, members of the Parent Teachers Association, ladies of the Egg Marketing Board, and gentlemen of the Women's Guild. I am here today, and if you doubt this, look at the facts. Fairly and squarely, from the umpire's view at the gasworks end. After all, how many of us, and in this day and permissive age, who wouldn't have a go, given the opportunity? And that goes for my dear wife as well.
Ya, bully fooly. Oh, I beg your pardon, I'm sure. Must have been something I didn't eat.
And let's not forget the other. And then again, if not, I hear you asking yourselves, and quite right too. No, my friends. This money for the mobile canteen must be raised by hook, or by the time they're fourpence off at any branch. Now, I'm going to give you solemn promises on a matter which only yesterday...
she talking about?
You'll never know.
In starting this 6-day bicycle race, in which children under 10 cannot be admitted until they're 9:30, I have never doubted that few of us would swap 2 packets. In all the years I have been a state registered nurse, I can never remember. After all, I need hardly remind you who once said, "Up guards an atom." And that goes for my dear wife as well. She joins me in offering every man in the regiment her full frontal support. So send for your free ticket now, and by return, you'll receive an entry into the common market.
Roar, roar! Keep going, will you? They're hanging on your every word.
Chief?
Sir?
What's that bubbling noise? Bubble? It seems to be coming from those barrels of beer.
Can't be, sir, can't be. It's just a fig leaf of your imagination, sir.
Why are the barrels getting bigger?
What? Please, Willie's still chatting.
In the penalty box. So why shouldn't we double our pleasure and double our fun? And that goes for my dear wife as well.
Chief.
Sir?
I think the fig leaf of my imagination is getting louder.
Oh, nonsense, sir, nonsense. But let's move to the other side of this pillar, eh? I'm sure we'll hear Sir Willoughby better there.
Who wants to? I think you're right.
All of which reminds me of a funny story I once heard, and which now completely escapes me. So here is the weather report after extra time. Right, I'm finished. Carry on.
Don't look now, but I think the fig leaf of my imagination just blew up.
Forty smackers. There you are, Captain Povey. Full repayment for the buoys from the Services Social Fund for the opening of the new Nuffy. All in onces and drops of Pertwee's blood.
Thank you, Chief. I realize that I'm witnessing a rare occasion when Pertwee parts with money. But, of course, there is more to come.
Pardon?
I haven't had the bill yet, but as it was entirely your fault the evening was ruined, you will, of course, be settling up for broken windows caused by flying corks, a cracked ceiling caused by the impact of one of the sides of a beer barrel, the repainting of an 80-foot beer-stained wall, and the dry cleaning of 18 suits, including Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown's.
I'll never make it, sir.
What an evening to remember. All those people slipping and sliding about and clinging to each other desperately, and all those screams and shouts and noise. The place absolutely shook. Reminds me of a program I once saw on television. Oh, it was terrifying.
Well, what was it, sir? A film about the San Francisco earthquake?
No. Come Dancing.
No, Chief. The first fair, I think Mr. Phillips gave us a very adequate description. I can see it all now. As the screams Mount Peter West says, and here trying to put the southeast one ahead of Scotland, are Sidney and his Daphne who've been dancing together for 15 years.
They must be getting tired by now.
I say that every time Peter West says it too.
A Daphne, who is a welder in a sausage factory, tells me that she crocheted a dress herself at 250 yards of fuse wire. And made the sequins out of 4,000 milk bottle tops.
For pity's sake, this is supposed to be my office.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, sir. We'd forgotten about you for a minute.
I also sent for you to meet Professor Clark from the Ministry of Defense's Special Development Laboratory.
Oh, lummy. Wasn't he the chap who invented the stuff that would eat through glass, metal, wood, and everything? But they had to abandon it because they couldn't find anything to keep it in.
That's right. Surely he was the one who invented the two-way hinge for bulkhead doors, which failed because no one could find a way to shut them.
That's right, I remember him. Yeah, old Clotty Clark. The man who invented the self-sealing, leak-proof glass fibre sea boat that worked perfectly until he put it in salt water, then it completely dissolved in 3 minutes, including the oars.
That's the gentleman.
And now you know why, in my wisdom, when I was asked to choose a ship to try out the professor's latest invention, I chose Troutbridge.
There are times, you know, Captain Povey, when I suspect you're not desperately keen on us.
Oh, you are sharp at times, Mr. Phillips, sir. Like boiled cornflakes.
Captain Povey's office, Captain Henry Povey, RN, and Defence Medal, speaking.
I know that, sir. I'm your secretary and I work here.
Oh. What is it, Ranchetti?
Well, I have a gentleman in your outer office who's just converted my intercom telephone with his stereophonic superhead high-fidelity earphones Mark I.
Well, you sound the same to me.
That's hardly surprising, sir. I'm having to telephone you from the Admiral's office until the post office engineers can put in a new telephone for me. You will have gathered that the gentleman is Professor Clark. Oh,
very well, Grantchason, leave it to me.
I intend to, sir, in case the whole lot goes off bang again in my eardrums.
Professor Clark is outside. Ask him to come in, will you?
Oh, I say, but shouldn't we all be wearing protective clothing, sir? This way, Professor Clark, sir. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, that's all right. I've been thinking. You know, this door would be ideal for one of my bulkhead double hinges. We've got hundreds of them in the stores. Good morning,
Gentlemen?
No. I've got it on the tip of my tongue.
Just now?
No.
Jolly Jack Tars.
No. Good morning, Oh, got it. Good morning, everybody.
Now, Professor, I understand that you want to use Troutbridge to demonstrate your latest invention.
Yes, you're perfectly
right?
No. You're probably
right.
No. Oh, I could kick myself. You're
possibly right.
No. You're got it. You're Pertwee. Your cousin Peregrine at the Ministry of Defence sends his worst.
Oh, sorry.
Well, now, gentlemen, you're a very lucky crew indeed. Now, you have been selected from a short list of one to test my latest invention, a totally indestructible shell.
Eh? What? Pardon?
Exactly. I thought you'd be pleased.
Pleased? Oh, we're in the seventh heaven, sir. On cloud nine, sir. Or at least Pertwee suspects he will be if we ever father perisher. Application for compassionate leave, sir.
Not granted.
But Pertwee's too young to snuff it, sir. Pertwee don't want to be there when he fires his totally indestructible whoosh-bang all-gone Pertwee shell. Permission to buy myself out, sir.
Not granted.
But if he blows up Pertwee, who's going to pay for the naffy ceiling? And the naffy windows and the naffy furniture, sir? Here's an idea. Everybody shut their eyes and count up to forever what Pertwee deserts.
Not granted.
Ah, that reminds me, young man, something that nearly slipped my mind. As I was,
coming here?
No. Oh, this is maddening. As I was,
communing with nature?
No. As I was,
crying out loud?
No. It's something to do with my, got it, motor. Can somebody get it out of the new Narfi? You can't mistake it. It's in the middle of the new Narfi restaurant, covered in bricks and wallpaper and workmen.
Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit, it is, sir.
Oh, this is ridiculous. We should have found a target ship by now.
Well, I, for one, am grateful that we haven't. You remember what happened to Professor Clark's dual-purpose, two-way, full-astern and full-ahead engines? It was supposed to go backwards as fast as it went forwards. And what happened? It did, at the same time. The result, one torn-in-half ship.
Oh, come now, Chief. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about.
You're kidding, of course, aren't you? What happened to them unfortunates? What was standing amidships? With one leg on a deck going that way. And the other leg on the deck going that way.
Oh, nasty.
No, this is totally different. I got full confidence in Professor Clark and all of his inventions, excepting the ones that didn't work. In any case, it's a great honour that the ship under my command should have been selected from a short list of one to carry out the sea trials for Professor Clark's totally indestructible...
Mushbang organ purple
shell. I'm sure we'll all end up in a blaze of publicity.
Possibly, sir. But how high up? Oh, the Pertwees aren't a musical family. We aren't keen on our pin to a little white cloud, you know.
Frankly, Chief, with your reputation, I don't think you've got anything to worry about. You'll be required for shoveling, not harping.
Oh, very kind, sir. Oh, I can't tell you what this something or other is, to be surrounded by one's friends. Oh, very nice, sir, boss.
Now, as I see it, with the wind in the maximum penalty area, and allowing for extra time on even dates, I would say...
Stop engines,
it is, sir.
No. I was about to say a left hand...
Now, full astern both. Full astern both. Quick, Chief.
Full astern both, sir.
Hey, just a noddy nautical minute. In case anyone's forgotten, lovable Leslie is the navigational officer.
We'd never have known it. The target ship is dead ahead and our orders are to fire at it, not ram it. Mr. Phillips, don't you realize that the CNC on his flagship and the rest of the home fleet are all standing off observing us? And thanks to you, we nearly made a pig's breakfast of it before we'd even started?
Well, I don't see that. I've hit things before and bounced off.
Presumably with your head. Now, Chief, stop engines. And notify Professor Clark to load the shell and be ready to fire.
Aye, aye, come on, everybody, sip. A permission to borrow the sea boats.
Not granted.
Let's see now. Well, it seems to be,
Shipshape and Bristol fashion?
No. It seems to be,
Sure to be on target?
No. Oh, this is maddening. Sure.
You know who.
No. Let's see. Sure. Got it. Loaded and ready to fire.
Right. We may as well carry on then. Gun crew... at the target ship, prepare to fire.
Mr. Phillips, could I borrow your Mickey Mouse pens?
Certainly, Chief. But watch you don't get the ink over your fingers. He leaks in a very peculiar place.
Yeah, I see what you mean, sir. Right through his lace holes. Now then, I, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, being of sound mind, declare this to be my last will and testamenticals... And I hereby bequeath to Nunky...
Chief!
...all my debts, our purchase agreements, and overdrafts.
Now what, Chief?
Never mind Mickey's lace holes. His boots just fell off. I've got a load of washable blue-black in my lap.
Excellent. It works. The shell's gone right through the side of the ship.
And right out of the other side.
Tell me, now where's it gone?
I'm not sure. I've got an awful feeling it's heading towards the flagship and the rest of the home fleet.
It really is indestructible.
Ta-da, flagship.
Hard luck, make peace. There goes the aircraft carrier.
Interesting, really, Professor. Your shell doesn't seem to sink anything. It just creates instant portholes on each side.
Oh, there's always a snag.
Yeah, right, Professor. And in this case, I think I know what the snag is. It's a ricochet round the fleet. It's on its way back to us. So everybody down.
Well, that's our two new portholes. Gosh, its little engine must be getting tired. It'll have to blow up soon.
Now where's it gone?
Here it's run out of ships. At least on its way to the shore. And I think I know where.
Where? Not Captain Povey's office.
No. No, sir, it's a bullseye. Exit one new naffy, along with all evidence what perk we don't have to pay for. E.g., several non-existent broken windows caused by non-existent flying corks. A non-existent cracked ceiling caused by a non-existent impact of a non-existent beer barrel.
Oh, dear, it's not fair. He wins every time.
No, he doesn't. He may have got away with the rest of it, but I demand he pays for a new pair of bootlaces and my leaky Mickey Mouse pen.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been Bushbang Orgon Pertwee for the last time in this series of The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Myrtle was Heather Chasen, Nunky was Daniel Evans, and Professor Clark was Michael Bates. Incidental music for the series was by Tommy Riley and James Moody, and the announcer was Michael De Morgan, and the show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.